traffic. Stop it now.
Come on now, quit that banging.
Stop it, please.
So, all right.
You ready? Testing, testing, 1, 2. Yeah.
I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready.
I feel like you do that joke a lot.
It's not a joke, it's a lyric from a
You're
song.
You're a joke.
Wow. Well, I guess I'm not talking this episode.
Kyle's gonna rage pout over there. Kendrick's gonna just laugh. Laugh and laugh.
You're not even laughing, you're just talking about laughing. Okay, there you go. That lasted all of 5 seconds. What I was gonna talk. So, what book were you listening to last week?
Nice. I like that. I see that. That's good. That's
I really meant this morning.
Oh fuck you!
Damn it!
You cocked it up. Sit talk, everybody.
Hi, I'm Kyle.
I was listening to the Myth Inc. series.
Oh,
the second
cool.
Book. I don't remember what the name is. We had this conversation where I suck at remembering book names, but it's the second one. I love that book series. Gary's a big fan.
But that's not the series you guys got your names from, right?
No, this one was a Robert Asprin series. It's not the one with any of our names in it. It's about Skeeve the Magician and his apprentice Oz the Demon from Perv. And so he's called a Pervect, but everyone calls him a Pervert. And he gets pissed when they do that, which is frightfully amusing. But yeah, it's pretty good. It's fun. Skeeve is from the planet. He doesn't know this because he grew up there, but he grew up from the medieval era dimension Claw. So he's a Clawed.
Okay.
And it's just basically puns on that level all the way down.
Sweet.
Not quite the level of sophistication of like the Piers Anthony puns. It's kind of more of a young adult book.
Oh, that card's now doing a thing. Okay.
Yep. That's fine. You're okay. That's
Piers Anthony book. I've never heard of Piers Anthony.
Piers Anthony. Have you heard of Piers Anthony? I've talked about him a number of times. Apparently, everybody is. See, have you ever noticed how this traffic circle makes absolutely no sense? Like, I have no way of knowing when people are coming in this corner which of the three lanes they're going to go in. And it's like, I feel like you guys don't understand traffic circles, because I should know when I can go.
Yeah.
And not go.
There should be effectively, like, a lane that you can go in, even if people do want to get out.
Anyway, plus no one signals properly, so you're fucked.
Bloody American traffic circles.
Almost as bad as everyone else's. So, Piers Anthony did the Xanth series.
And I've heard you talk about
God
that.
God of Tarot series.
That's right.
And the Bio of a Space Tyrant series.
The Bio of a Space Tyrant
that's
is
the
one
main one
that
I've talked about.
Yeah, I've talked about
it. Wait, that was Piers Anthony, right?
I don't know. You're the one that's claiming it.
Yes.
I'll believe it.
I think so. Now I'm all confused. But I'm pretty sure. Yeah, because he does weird shit. That's the whole point of him. He's like, you're all over the damn board. Because Xanth is a fantasy series that takes place in a fictitious version of Florida. Dude, you had the light. You're an idiot driver, and you own a Mustang. And I'm starting to think all Mustang owners are idiots, because all the ones I see are idiots.
They either don't know how to drive or don't know how to drive dangerously. Those are the two options, right?
Well, this guy.
Oh god, this guy doesn't. This guy's in both of those categories somehow.
This guy could probably just go ahead and stop just everything. Just
look,
whatever you're doing.
I'm gonna need you to stop everything. But that'll mean I can't live anymore. Yeah. Unfortunate byproduct.
That's fine. I know. It's a pun related. Like, I think we've talked about it before, but there's like, it's a ridiculous number of puns.
In Myth Inc.?
In the Xanth. Okay. In Myth Inc., there's a reasonable number of puns, but most of them.
Do they come across in the audiobook well?
Yeah, the audiobook, the guy does a lot of voices, takes a lot of creative license, puts weird accents in, but I kind of dig it.
Okay. Did you audible that?
Yes. I read the books a decade or so ago, more probably 15 years ago, and then I did the audiobook now, and I'm working my way up. And it's kind of fun because this unassuming kid turns out to be a half decent magician, and he's training with his mentor. And you go from the beginning, you're like, oh, it's gonna be a fantasy novel,
right?
Well, at the beginning, it's this old dude, and you're like, oh, it's gonna be like a fantasy novel, and then he says, I'll show you power, and then he summons this demon, and then gets shot by an assassin immediately. Like, an assassin busts out of nowhere during the summoning spell, and he's like, don't interrupt, and he's like, I don't care, boom, and he shoots him with a crossbow bolt, And then at the same time, he shoots him back with a laser beam out of his fucking ring. Mm-hmm. So there's two dead people. Skeev is standing there like, what the hell just happened? And then there's a demon standing there. And as his old master fell, he fucked up the ring that was, you know, the pentagram mm-hmm. was keeping him in. So, like, in the space of the first couple chapters, Skeev is like, what's happening to my life right now? And all of a sudden, the demon's like, oh, hey, Kay, what's up? Like, and it turns out, like, demon is short for dimension traveler, like I said before.
Oh, it's not like, okay.
No, so they call them demons because they don't know any better in this area. And so, but
so he's not like a real demon, he's just like...
Well, he looks like a demon, because he's got scales, and he's got pointy teeth, and he's terrifying.
But he's not, like, evil.
No, well, I mean, he's not necessarily good, but he's not evil. But he's always, like, looking for a bargain, trying to grift people out of money, that kind of stuff. But he's not, like, a real bad guy. But he, it's funny that all the stuff you find out, because, like, Oz, the pervect, keeps making references that are kind of fourth wall breaking, but not really. Just he's a dimension traveler. He's hundreds of years old, and he's been to places, presumably Earth, from the way they talk about certain things. So he'll make references, and people are like, "What the hell is he talking about?" But it's things that would be funny to us.
Interesting. This is the Mythic one, then, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna have to get that.
I'd recommend it. Like, there's a guy called the Brute later, a military commander that they end up he gets killed, and. He was like, well, we're in the negotiation, and Skeev was like, well, we're sorry what happened to the Brute. You know, he made him look like somebody else, and then all the soldiers hacked him apart. He's like, I wouldn't wish on anybody. And Oz is like, well, you should have fed him to the dragons next. And everyone's like, we're talking about a dead guy. What? And he's like, because then he could have been Et-2. And it's like, and it's great because you're like, oh, God. And then all the characters are like, what the fuck is he saying? Like, they're all looking at each other like, I don't. You're very strange. I think they move on, but they have those little moments where there's like a little bit of fourth wall peeking. And a lot of the pun names, like, all the people are named after their dimensions, which are basically planets, but they go for dimensions because they don't travel through space. They just travel with the hops.
Okay.
Dimensional, magical dimensional beings. But they also have technology. So theoretically, they talk about guns and things, and Skeev's always like, what's a gun? Like, I don't know what that is. And so they get stuff from places, and it's just different areas on different things. And
that sounds like a book set in that, like, un-universe from Magic the Gathering. Where, like, the un-universe from Magic the Gathering is very... It's the cards that we played with that were very fourth wall breaky. Like,
yeah,
they do stuff outside of the game to affect the game state, which is kind of a fun gimmick. It's like King's Cup, right?
What it does that's very effective is it allows you to basically open up your story options. Because they go to the bazaar on Deva, where the Devils are, and those are guys that are large, red, with pointy horns and forked tails, and they walk around on hooves. They're Devils. They're fierce traders. Their whole, they had a blight across their whole dimension, and so it's all bleak and sulfurous and kind of smelly and all run down and basically hell. But what they did was they figured out how to get really good at dimension traveling and bargaining. And so they start going out and buying stuff from one dimension, selling it to another dimension, and becoming these merchants. And that's why they say you should never do a deal with a devil, because they'll probably screw you. not because they'll take your immortal soul, but because they will get the better of you in ways you can't even comprehend.
But it's like, it's nice, yeah, that sounds cool, because it's like mixing fantasy and seemingly sci-fi
and he can dip into any tropes like he wants, yeah. Because he's got all those options available.
Huh.
And I think that's clever, because, yeah, it's a wise choice for a world to set yourself in, because you can't get pegged down. And, like, Oz, one of the main characters, he was a magician, but the prank that Skeev's original mentor played on him, he gave him poured it on him, basically, a trick powder that made him lose all of his magic. And they're like, oh, it was a stupid prank. Oh, he was always playing pranks. Like, he died. Yeah, he does that too. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, he doesn't really seem to care. He's like, yeah, it's a prank. We'll find the antidote. And they find out later, oh, there isn't an antidote. It just wears off. How long did it take? No, about 100 years. And it's like, oh.
So the main character doesn't have magic for the whole
Skeev
thing?
Oh, Skeev does.
Okay.
But his mentor doesn't.
Interesting.
And so it makes for a very amusing kind of pair. Because Skeev doesn't understand how to use any of the magic he has.
And Oz the mentor
does,
can't,
but yeah. Doesn't have any magic. He can't use any of it. So
that's interesting. So that makes me think something. So I was listening to another audiobook as well, and it's called The Chronicles of Blair, I think, or something like that. And
what?
It's supposedly like a good thematic mix of Jessica Jones meets Harry Dresden. And so I was okay. That seems cool.
I'm on board.
But, like, I can't get into it yet, and I don't know if it's just because, like, I've been listening to too many of these, like, very high-quality audiobooks, and now I'm going back, and it's kind of, like, difficult to pay attention.
Oh, it's so tough.
But, another thing I noticed is that the character doesn't start with any kind of powers or magic, and I thought that was an interesting comparison to, like, Harry Dresden and Jessica Jones, where both of those story arcs do start with the characters kind of in the midst of what they do.
They kind of come in the middle of their
story. Yeah, and much like, it sounds like what you're saying here, too, is, like, this guy, this Skeeve character, is kind of already knows he can do magic, right?
Well, he's no,
like,
from the very beginning, he can't do anything.
He can't, but does he know he can?
He doesn't understand how to do magic, and he has the ability to, but he doesn't know how to do any of it.
So does he have to, like, get into a school, or does he get, like, claimed by someone, or is he just kind of already where he needs to be?
Oz is the one who mostly helps him learn stuff as it goes, and he's the one who trains him and teaches him things.
But Oz is not the one that dies at the beginning,
right? No. Okay. Oz is the demon.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay.
The perfect.
All right, so that's interesting, because I was trying to think about whether or not if that was something to me that makes it harder for me to get into a story is if it's, like, the Hulk origin syndrome. Right? Because every Hulk movie has been an origin story, and you're like, okay, cool, we get it. Like, so Hulk has a lot of hard things he goes through, and he can't control it.
I would say that the way this saves it is that this, from a narrative standpoint, allows him to be the plot exposition character, because he's a clod. And that's not, like, whatever. He's just on a, he's on a dimension that's not very advanced. They're at medieval, or they're at, like, late medieval period, I guess. So they've got swords, they've got crossbows, they've got catapults.
But does he know that, like,
but
there's...
But he doesn't know anything beyond that.
Okay, so he doesn't know there's other dimensions or anything like
that. At the beginning. And so all the stuff that we as readers are learning, he is also learning for the most part. Mm-hmm. And so the exposition is a little more natural because it's always him like, what's a blank? And then Oz is like, I don't have time to explain it. Or it's this. And then he kind of makes it work better from a... Okay. Explanation standpoint.
I guess I'm not saying I don't like or like other another one. It's just interesting to go from one to another if you've been focusing on one a lot. Like, if you're focusing on characters that are constantly the, I guess I wouldn't say underdog, but like you said, the clod, but that's the book term, right?
Yeah,
Or is that, like, actually the book term and what you'd call that character?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So, like, because that's a very, it's like an archetype of a character to be, like, that person who's totally underqualified for the things that they're in throughout the whole story, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, to some extent, yeah, I mean, he's naive and young and doesn't really know what he's doing, but is powerful enough to learn as he goes. And so he changes and grows and learns between each book rather a lot.
Okay.
And so watching his character develop is one of the interesting parts of the series. I'm only back to book two, but I remember he changes a bunch and gets quite a bit older over the course of the series.
And I could see it being on the opposite end of, like, what I was saying, where they just kind of drop you into it.
Right.
Where it's a little bit jarring because you sit here and you're like, I'm not getting all these references.
And you don't understand the rules.
They might explain them later, I guess.
Especially when there's any supernatural things.
Yeah.
You don't understand the rules, and so they have to explain the rules to you, but it can often be a challenging narrative to write.
That's interesting.
And not everyone rises to the challenge as well as others.
Because at that point, it becomes a reader-author, I don't have time to explain this to you thing, as opposed to a character's exposition of talking to someone who's like, I don't have time to explain
this
to you.
And so it also depends on whether you're doing first person, third person, like which type of narrative structure you're using, past tense, present tense. If you're doing a present tense, first person narrative, it's really jarring for them to be like, and then this guy busts into the room brandishing this thing. Let me spend a couple pages talking about the thing he had. He's like, but what happened? He busted in. You're just going to sit here and explain. Like, it throws the pacing off, right?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I've seen that in stories before.
Third person past tense voice can often make it a little less jarring. You get a little more wiggle room because it's sort of like, well, that happened before. Like, subconsciously, it's a subtle, subtle game. And that's one of the reasons I never could write very well, is I always get lost in making these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But
just gotta be like me and not care about any of that and know anything about any of it.
Yeah, that works. How's your writing coming?
It's good. I mean, it's been okay since the beginning of time and hasn't really improved or decreased since then.
Is it because you're not doing anything?
No, I'm writing still. Just not as often.
I swear to God.
What?
Nothing.
What?
I just got a notification from a character at work and it's like, it's 4:30 on a Friday.
So what the fuck do you want?
Yeah, stop. What are you asking me for?
Is it one of the people that you said you were going to tell that you weren't going to respond to stuff at 4:30?
It was, and they were talking, and I'm like, I'm just going to go. So it was like, yeah, you should maybe ask me stuff before 4 on a Friday. I just as a thought, if you want me to take care of it.
Yeah.
But
I'm in the middle of this Canto Bite book. It's another Star Wars Journey to the Last Jedi book.
Yeah.
And apparently I can only read Star Wars books, but that's my choice.
That's a life choice.
It's actually interesting. So it doesn't... The entire book is centered around characters that you never... You would only see in deleted scenes for The Last Jedi, which is, like, one of those things we were talking about a few weeks ago. I don't know if it was even last time, but it was a few weeks ago, where we're like, is this even necessary to do, like, this much, like, story on a character that isn't like even in the book? Like,
the guy in the watchtower from Star Wars over Yavin?
Yeah, yeah.
Has his own movie.
Has his own story at the, like, in that, yeah.
Hey, look, the buff bus.
From a certain point of view, it makes a little sense because they're all short stories, so it's not like you're spending a ton of time investing in it.
Right.
But I also kind of think it's interesting because unless I would have investigated, I wouldn't have known any of those characters were in deleted scenes. So it's just like its own kind of standalone story inside of a place that you know from
this. I don't mind that, to be honest. I don't mind people creating stories in that universe that are unrelated to other characters. In fact, to be honest, I appreciate that more than trying to tie it in.
Yeah, I agree. And they've never done any tie-ins yet, which I was very impressed with because I was still interested in all the stories that were happening. And I was like, oh, cool, these are actually really good stories. Like, one is about a sommelier on Canto Bite who ends up getting in a deal to get this really, really rare wine from outside the galaxy. And it turns into this kind of big old... like crash situation where everybody's coming together and trying to get the wine or something like that, and it's kind of fun. The first story is about a weird sales guy or being, I guess they call him, who won a trip to Canto Bite and just keeps getting like messed with because he doesn't know what Canto Bite's all about. He's never been there, never been off his own planet.
Huh.
The third one is about a like bathhouse employee, basically like a masseuse, who's this like alien who's like getting forced into the mob, and it's kind of interesting. I've definitely enjoyed it. I think if you are into that extended Star Wars stuff, Canto Bite's a pretty good book because it's something.
Now, you said there's multiple characters. Is it still short stories? Or
they're
is it
novellas. So
that weird spot between short stories.
Yeah,
and
there's four short stories. There's four novellas in the Canto Bite book, as opposed to 20 something short stories in the From a Certain Point of View book. So they're like a lot longer. There's more character development. There's more story. There's chapters instead of just being a short story. But yeah, it doesn't seem too long. It's good. I'd suggest it if you're thinking about reading it or you want more Star Wars stuff. You can't get enough. Just can't get enough. Just can't get enough.
Is that guy a fan of 303 or WoW or Mom?
I think that's 303.
Okay.
Just based off of the fact that it's not...
It's diagonal. So
I guess
sure.
I see that as like the slope of the word would go if it was
seems
on a straight
like
line. Yeah, I guess.
But it slopes up too.
So. Do you guys like when we talk about stuff that you can't see nor care about?
Do you like when we ask you open-ended questions again?
Do you like how we listen to the answers to those questions all the time?
We wait. We wait for you to answer.
Amy, have you experienced any media lately that you want to chat about on this media-heavy episode?
Black Mirror, but we already talked about it.
Black Mirror.
Black
Go
Mirror.
Watch Black Mirror.
It's like Outer Limits, but now.
Yeah, it's got some pretty cool like cameos in it.
It really is like Outer Limits, to be honest. Oh,
yeah.
Geez. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Oh, don't worry. That guy is stopping.
Yep, everybody's stopping now.
And
traffic! Stop it now.
Oh, God. Seatbelts.
I don't know, man. You're bad at seatbelts.
Oh, wow. It's only been 18 minutes.
You jerk yourself around a lot.
I don't.
That's probably...
It's because you're braking. You're a terrible driver like Joe.
I am. I am a terrible driver.
Don't you ever compare me to Joe again. Hi, Joe.
I'll accept that comparison to Joe only because I'm sad and dead inside.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Why are we...
No. You want to stay in this lane.
Are you
cause
sure? Because
there's going to be construction up there, and people are going to try to turn left, and they're going to stop. Usually, they stop traffic.
Traffic! Stop it now.
Come on now. Quit that banging.
Stop it, please. So, all right. Yeah, I mean, I've been meaning to watch Black Mirror, but to be honest, I was kind of so disturbed by the first couple three that...
Yeah, the first three episodes are intense. This for the second one being, I think, the most intense.
That's the one with the implant?
Nope.
That's the one with the biking?
Yep.
Yeah, that one was... That one was sad more than intense, I think.
I guess that's what I meant. It was like a
very... It was like...
It invoked intense feelings
that
in
one,
me.
That one punched me right in the feels.
Yeah.
The one with the implant was, like, devastating in a weird way, but...
I talked to some guys at Collector Mania about it when I was hanging out there last weekend, and...
Hi, Collector Mania.
One of their... some of their favorite episodes were in the second season, and there's an episode that has one of the dudes from Mad Men in it from the second season called White Christmas.
Mm.
And it is pretty Jeffed up.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out.
And last night when Amy and I were watching, we kept seeing all these connections between the episodes.
Oh, dear.
And yeah. And not connections, like hard connections, right?
But it's just like... connections.
In one episode, there's a character called Waldo, and he's like a cartoon bear. And in another episode, there's a sticker of him on someone's computer.
Nice.
In one episode in the fourth season, there's these little, like, like augmented reality VR things that they use. And those are in another episode kind of briefly to do something that has to do with like retirement or something like that. Like it's really interesting. And I wonder if anybody's put all of this shit together and been
now
like,
can I get over?
Yeah, you should be safe.
Doing it anyway.
Yeah. Cause that's the actual, no, you shouldn't have gotten over, but looks like you're safe for now. Cause nobody wants to. Oh, they finally put a sign up. Maybe that's why people aren't turning left here.
Oh, they won't let you?
I guess so.
They're trying to take it to a racial place, and I won't let them.
Principal Vagina here. No relation. What does that mean? No relation to what? A vagina?
Yeah.
Or, like, the Russian vaginas who are just dictators. Get it? Dick vagina? That's the best I got.
Joke. That's, if that's your best won't do.
your best won't do. I took a picture last week when we were driving, wink.
Yeah.
And it was the Comes R Us thing.
Yes.
And it came up on my Facebook, on my phone today. It was like, do you want to post this picture? And I was like, I don't know yet. Keep asking me.
I think I might have figured out where I keep cutting my fingers.
What is it?
I think it's on this ring here.
Is it sharp?
I think it's like only sharp on one angle, and I manage to hit it just right sometimes and just gouge my fingers open.
All right,
that's cool. I'm going to grind that down when I get
stops
home.
Focusing on the road and starts focusing on his
keyboard. Well, we're at a stoplight, okay?
It means we're at a stopping point in the podcast.
We're at a stopping light in the podcast, more like. I mean, we're almost home.
Yeah, that's true. But I think we're at 22 minutes or something.
We're at like,
oh my God,
we're
the
at like 15
belt.
Minutes.
How does this keep happening to me?
You're bad at everything.
I can't. Kendrick just doesn't want me to leave his car.
Nope.
That's why his seatbelt locks up on
nope.
me. Has nothing to do with my fat fucking body.
It has everything to do
I
with
wish I had a cheeseburger right up. Now.
Lucky for you, I got one in a can right here.
Oh God. Pig in a poke. Why the
you get a burger there.
That place is delicious.
Yeah.
It's like this is gonna be the worst comparison ever, and I'm already sorry that I'm gonna say it, but it's like a good version of Sonic.
Ooh, actually I get that.
Okay. Okay.
So go on.
Okay. Why do they put hamburger? There is hamburgers in cans, and that's gross to me.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Have you ever seen someone eat one?
No.
You ever seen someone open one?
I thought I did on YouTube once, but I don't
know. Saw a man open one on YouTube. He tried it. That's what you expect.
It's probably not good. Do they have to cook it, or is it just
it's pre-cooked. It was very soggy.
Yeah, I imagine.
Greasy.
Wait, what do they put it in? Fat or something?
Nope.
They just leave it in a like.
Yep. Probably on nitrogen.
Oh, nitrogen. Okay. Interesting.
It was in paper too. In that one.
I would think the more shit you put in there, the more chance you have bacteria growing in there.
Yep.
But you know, if it's in a can, you've probably given up all hope and you're about to die anyway.
Yeah, he said the meat was like not good.
So if you. So stop using McDonald's as a comparison point for bad food and start using food in a can.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the thing you posted? Like, oh, it was the guy who realized that the 20 pieces were on 2 for $3 and he went in and ordered 122 pieces for like, or 20 pieces for like $10. 120 chicken nuggets for $10.
Yeah.
And then ate them all. And then someone said, now that's adulting.
Yeah, that's
the comment.
That is adulting. Yeah, that is definitely the case. Yeah, so that was someone posted a article that was talking about the McDonald's menu. They have a combination menu now instead of their dollar menu because the dollar.
Actually, that doesn't exist anymore. That's old.
Okay, so
it's a can I get a McPicktail? Is what it is now. And so you pick two things for $5, and it's 2 10 pieces you can get for $5.
Okay. So they changed it again. But at that time, because of the way it was organized, because they've been struggling with the value menu concept because everyone wants to have a dollar menu, but a dollar just doesn't get you anything anymore because dollars are worth nothing.
They're like pennies. They might as well get rid of them.
I mean, they're practically. But, well, like McDonald's has been struggling with the we want to make food cheap and we want to stop being a cheap food reputation. So it's like, but...
Kendrick did the which button do I press thing.
Yeah, sweating. Yeah. But I'm glad you got that. So their value menu has changed a lot over the last 20 years.
In fact,
right?
It just recently changed again on top of this change you're talking about. And now there's $1, $2, and $3 things.
Yeah.
And they brought back the Bacon McDouble.
Yeah.
They brought back the Classic Chicken Sandwich.
See, you're way more in the know. I don't get to McDonald's that often.
Yeah, because I'm fat and I like to eat McDonald's. So
no,
that's
why there's not one on my route anymore. They closed the one that was close to my house. So
that's fair.
That's honestly it. Like, I used to stop there more often. There's kind of one, but it's just one of those, like, nah, there's other ones that are more convenient. But regardless... So they had a deal at that time where it was pick three for two or something. It was some deal.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just it was cheaper and they had different items.
The way it worked was you were supposed to like get like a couple of nuggets and some small amount of fries and a drink. And it was like, oh, it's like $4 or whatever. But this guy said there's nothing stopping you from just getting all chicken nuggets.
Instead of like another item that's not chicken
just
nuggets.
All chicken nuggets. And he ended up with... was 120 chicken nuggets for $10.
Mm-hmm. He got three 40 counts, like basically because it was 220 pieces for $3. And so
it
was spending like 10 bucks for 100
for three.
Two for
and,
three.
And it was one of the things you could get of the two was a 20 piece of chicken nuggets, which is a stupidly good deal.
Yes.
In and of itself.
They're $5 now, so you cannot get them for that cheap.
Yeah, that's nuts that it was ever that cheap. It must have been a great promotion. But... so he got two each of those and then three orders of each of the two to get himself up to $10 and got 120 chicken McNuggets.
Based
apparently,
on... yeah.
The cashier like looked into his car to see if they were like a bunch of children and he was like, nope. He went home and ate them all.
Based on what I know about or having ordered that stupid amount of food at places, people get angry with you because that's at least three new batches of chicken nuggets as far as I know, depending on how money they have cooked and things like that when you get there. So, I guess if you really want fresh chicken nuggets, order a bunch of chicken nuggets, because they're going to have to give you at least one fresh 10-piece.
Yeah.
But if you want to be not a jerk, then...
well, I mean, there's not a jerk, and then there's... I'm going around these people, because I hate all of them.
Yes.
Especially these guys.
Especially this guy. And it's not even a guy.
Oh.
It's a horse.
Okay. I was hoping to try and get on the sensor, so I even get a chance at making this left turn. Anyway, yeah, I guess I get a little frustrated because I was like, I mean, yeah, you got to drop more nuggets, but that's also your job, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Amy, you had an opinion about that, right? Like, because you didn't want me to, like, order that many things from a place before, right?
Well, that's because the first time we went, they were like, 20 hamburgers.
The fuck is wrong with you?
20 hamburgers.
What is it, there are 20 hamburgers in the microwave?
Can you believe this guy? And they said it on the... friggin' speakerphone. They set it at the pay window.
Did they really?
And it again when they handed them over.
I don't remember this.
Wow.
Yeah.
They said it then?
Yeah.
What?
Like 20 hamburgers. I don't know. It was just a big ordeal for something that's mostly automated and probably takes a couple seconds.
And you know, I think about there's this local soul food place that just opened up near me, and if I'd have gone in there and be like, I need 20 catfish, they'd be like, fuck yeah. You just made my day profitable.
Yeah, but you'd also be spending like $100-something plus dollars.
Yeah, but even still, they're not going to be like, I got to fry these things.
But wouldn't they? How do you know that, though? Like, the owner might be happy, or the manager, but the cook's like, fuck you, dude. Like,
well,
and especially...
Cooks are always angry because they're cooks.
But, like, I guess it also depends on how you do it, too. Like, going in the drive-thru and ordering that many cheeseburgers or catfish, I guess, and expecting them to happen in drive-through times, or
oh yeah, if I ordered, if I went through the drive-through, I would be expecting to pull over to the little thing and be like,
and
I'll wait.
Yeah,
I'll wait.
We did at the two places that we ordered that many for the LAN party.
So, I went to a McDonald's a number of years ago at this point, like 4 years ago.
Back when cheeseburgers were 79 cents.
Yeah, back when they were a nickel.
Should you go back for a nickel?
I went to go in there for, like, dinner. I was going to Black Bolt, hanging out down there. So I was grabbing some food, heading down there. And a guy walks up around the door at the same time as me. I hold the door open for him. He says, oh, thanks. Goes inside. Walks over the counter in front of me. I'm like, I mean, of course. He's in front of me. No big deal. And he says, I need 100 cheeseburgers and 100 chicken sandwiches. And I was like, well, shit, I wish I'd not let you in front of me. I did. Oh, shit, you're right. Too busy telling a story, Kyle! Can I go from here?
Yeah, sure, I don't know.
Let's find out. We're going to drive through the neighborhood while I tell a story.
All right.
And so I actually said to him, I was like, well, shit, I wish I hadn't let you go first. And he thought it was funny. Turns out there was the golf store down there. One of the golf / snow or ski stores.
Yeah, yeah.
This street is not as well maintained as yours. They have their annual, like, customer appreciation something like that, and they actually did a lock-in or something. I don't know all the details. What they did was they got a shitload of McDonald's food and a bunch of cheap, shitty beer, and they just partied all night. And so he actually warned them beforehand that he was going to come in there, but I was like,
That's nice of them.
So yeah, they took my order, and I got it in a perfectly reasonable time, but it was just funny where I was like, well, of course, this is the one asshole I let in front of me order all of the
things. Yeah, I guess if you were in that situation and you heard that the person in front of you ordered that much, you're like, seriously, dude?
Can I get in first?
I mean, seriously?
But it was also funny because it was a holiday, or they had construction or something. I don't remember what the deal was, and so they were closing early, and the lady who took the order was marked as a manager, had the manager name tag thing. Mm-hmm. And I actually mentioned, like, so that's probably good for you. He's like, oh, yeah, we probably weren't going to make our quota tonight without that guy.
That's kind of awesome.
So that worked out pretty good, huh?
Yeah. I guess you're right. The managers, the people who care about the money and the people who care about job security, I guess, like that much ordering. Yeah. But the people who are, like, have to make all that food are probably like, ugh.
Yeah.
What?
It does kind of suck that they don't get more money for more. I guess I missed one. Wait. How am I here?
It's a horseshoe.
Yeah, because you didn't turn left there. That Winona Street is like a little... It's Winona Court for...
So I need to take another left.
Left and left.
Yeah. I'll keep taking left until I get to your house. See, this is the problem of telling stories while driving, is you completely lose track of where you're going. But we'll get there via the Nautilus approach.
Just spinning around... The Heideggerian approach of driving.
Yeah, Heideggerian is circling the bowl of logic. All right, we're done now. Get out. And
you haven't stopped the car?
No, it's okay. Sit talk, everybody.
Peace off.
We're done. We're done here. Dave Johnson.
Bye.
Big up yourselves.
Big up yourselves?